So, as you probably know, if you've been here for the last 2 months, Koen and I have this running joke about, you know, this morning's message, the last one in the series, being the most boring of all. In fact, Koen found it so boring, he's taken his family elsewhere for the morning. He has a good excuse, he's on a family weekend, which is always good. But I'm glad you guys are here, and I'm glad I'm here. And actually, I'm very passionate about what I'd like to share with you this morning. Because I believe that, you know, out of all of the stuff that we have been sharing over the past 2 months, this one, which in natural church development has a very boring title of effective structures, and who wants a sermon about that, it is actually about, you know, whether all of the good stuff that we believe in, all of the good stuff that we have been talking about, teaching about, dreaming about, whether it's only talked about, only thought about, only dreamed about, or whether this exciting adventure that we call the Christian life and that we call being part of the body of Christ is actually getting done. So if you could show the next slide. No, there's one missing. One back. Yeah, there it is. So, and I was in a training from London Business School like 3 weeks ago, and something they taught about there really clicked with me, and I thought, you know, this is what I have to talk about. They talked about the knowing-doing gap. And basically, what the topic was about was that, you know, we can have a lot of convictions, a lot of things that we believe in, a lot of things that we are trying to pursue, but for some reason they don't really take off. And there's a gap between what we know and what we do. And what they tried to explain in that training is that usually when there's a knowing-doing gap, there's two things involved that make sure that we don't get from what we know to what actually comes out of our hands. And these two things are clarity of direction and psychological safety to participate. And, you know, with those two things, I went back to our NCD results, also the ones for Vineyard Groningen, and we will share those in a family meeting later. And I thought, you know, the thing that we have, the answers we have gathered from all of you, you know, under the heading of effective structures, they are basically about those two things. You know, is there a clarity of direction among us about, you know, what kind of church we are and where we are going? And is there the safety for everybody individually to participate in that, to bring their best gifts to the table, to have their voice heard? So the knowing-doing gap, as they taught in London Business School, is about those two things, clarity of direction, psychological safety to contribute. And this is actually what I'd like to talk about with you this morning. So all of the hallmarks of a healthy church we've been talking about before, loving relationships, empowering leadership, need-oriented evangelism, small groups, worship services, spirituality, gift-based ministry. But if we cannot answer the question of where, when, and by whom together all of these things are being done, we don't have a church. And we're not reaching anyone outside of our circle with any of it. So this morning, I'd like to think with you on the two themes of being connected and being intentional. So that's why I call our message Connected on Purpose. And I'm going to read a couple of verses from Ephesians 4 that touch on these subjects. And then I'm going to discuss three ways for us as an international, multi-ethnic and multi-generational church to try and make this practical. So you can go, yeah, thank you. So now when we talk about intentionality in making church happen, There's always a question of what is God's doing and what is ours doing. What is our doing? There's the sovereignty of God, and then there's our effort. So when do we trust Him to do His stuff? And when are we in the way? When are we being managerial and presumptuous? And when are we being irresponsible or just, you know, plain lazy? And we'll see that in Scripture, it's actually a both and thing. There's God's initiative and there's our effort, and somehow they come together. And Paul talks about this in Ephesians 4. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So, when Paul is writing to the Ephesian church about their growing up into maturity, growing up into, you know, the body of Christ in full measure, and we'll read some more about that later, he is emphasizing two things at the same time that we sometimes think are contradictory. So on the one hand, there's the idea of the initiative of God. It's all his doing. You know, the church has not invented its own calling. The church has not defined its own purpose. The church has received it to live life worthy of the calling you have received. You know, the initiative for this thing called church is not from us, it's from God. We have received our calling from Him. And in the same way, the church cannot create its own unity. Its unity was already given by the Spirit. We keep the unity of the Spirit, the unity that the Spirit has already given to us. The unity given by the Spirit is there to begin with, and then we keep it. So whatever we say about intentionality and about human responsibility for the church, first and foremost, we have to recognize that the church itself is a miracle from God. The church itself, as we're sitting here this morning, this thing is a miracle from God. He has initiated its calling, and the church has received it. He has given us a fundamental unity in the Spirit, and the church gets to keep it. But the other thing Paul emphasizes, and the other thing that Paul calls the church to take to heart, is our own part in making church happen. In making church all that it was intended and called to be. He says, I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling. He says, make every effort to keep the unity that the Spirit has already given you through the bond of peace. So God has initiated the church and given it its fundamental unity, and we are urged to make every effort to grow it up into all that it was intended to be. We are called to be intentional about taking care of the miracle that God is creating right in our midst, right in this building, right in this community. So it's like, you know, in the Old Testament, when God made a promise in 2 Kings chapter 3 to the prophet Elisha that he was going to make it rain and he was going to make the land fruitful. But before God would give the rain on the word of the prophet Elisha, he would tell Elisha, you dig ditches in the land so that when I give the rain, instead of just the water getting lost, it will actually achieve its purpose of fertilizing the land and making crops grow, right? So our effort in digging ditches and God's effort in making it rain, they come together and they work together. It's ora et labora. It's pray and work. So helping the church become all that it could be takes intentionality. And it takes intentionality about something very specific. And that's the next couple of verses from Ephesians 4. It's all about how we connect to each other that makes us grow up as a body. So I'm going to read from verse 11 in Ephesians 4. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now when you're Dutch, these verses are actually pretty cool in the King James translation. There it says, the body is held together by what every joint supplies. Now Dutch people know what a joint is, right? So just for the rest of you, we use the other translation that actually gets it across better. So for the rest of us, here's the point. It's about ligaments. It's not about the thing we Dutch, right? So let's skip the King James for now. The body of Christ is not built up out of individuals. It's not built up of a whole set of individual contributions, and then somehow the sum of those makes the church. The body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work, but it is joined and it is held together by every supporting ligament. And a ligament is not a body part in its own right. A ligament is the connection between two body parts. It's where two body parts come together. It's the connection and the coordination between the two. It is not just you and me, it is how you and I work together that holds the body together. In other words, it's not the sum of the parts that makes the whole, it's the connections between the parts that makes the whole. So contrary to popular belief, Christianity is a team sport. You can go to the next slide. Christianity is a team sport. We only function well as we are connected to each other. And the intentionality to which we are called is a shared intentionality, a unity in purpose. We are supposed to be a church that is connected on purpose. And I have some pictures here why I think that's important. We made these just 2 weeks. This is my team from work and training. And we try to do something very important in these pictures. In the picture on the left, we try to put 12 people on only 2 car tires while holding the other 10 car tires up in the air. And actually, we succeeded to fit 12 people onto only 2 car tires. It's teamwork. And this is the other teamwork exercise that we did where we had to there was a field with all these different numbers on the ground from 1 to 50, and we had to set a record in touching them all in the right order in the shortest amount of time. And actually, we cut the record in half, and the record had been there for 20 years, so we did a pretty good job of teamwork there. And I was wondering when we were doing this exercise with my team last week, like, how is it that in the world of business, or maybe in the world of, you know, schools or other organizations, so much investment is made in working together, so much investment is made in bonding and in leadership development and all of those things, if it is for such a trivial goal like building software or making money or selling stuff? You know, if that's the purpose that keeps us together, we expend a lot of energy in working together as a team as best we can to make that happen. So how is it that in the body of Christ, when we have a much bigger purpose, which is to manifest the kingdom of God in the world and to manifest the kingdom of God in our city, we can be so sluggish about how we work together? If it's important for something as trivial as building software or selling Coca-Cola, how can we, as the body of Christ, you know, put less effort in how we work together in our direction and in our safety of working together? So Paul is clear on this. The body of Christ is held together not just by our contributions as individuals, but by how well we connect together, how well we draw on each other's strengths, how well we cover for each other's weaknesses, and together help our greater goal succeed, to manifest the presence of the kingdom of God into a city that needs it. So what that means is that for all of the beautiful stuff that we have discussed in our previous 8 messages, we need to be able to answer the practical questions. Who makes sure it gets done? Who else is involved? When and how do we do it? How do we prepare? How do we know we've done right? How do we evaluate if we could do better? So the intentional and proper stewarding of the treasure we have been given, the miracle we have been given, being connected, unified in our purpose, that's what this boring hallmark of effective structures is all about. So, Vineyard Groningen, how do we do together? How do we grow together? How do we make an effort to hold together and build up this God-initiated, this Spirit-unified international church for the city as a whole, for the student community in particular? And where is God calling us to be more intentional and to be better connected? Connected on purpose. And I see 3 areas where I'd like to challenge us to grow in. I'd like to challenge us as a church to be intentionally connected about these 3 topics. Mentoring and discipleship, growing in the gifts, and in the practice of inclusion, because I think these 3 are related to our particular purpose as a church. And I'll briefly unpack all 3. I started our series 2 months ago by looking at church development through the lens of the Great Commission. It's about disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And it's about churches that plant churches that plant churches. So how are we doing in the discipling area? How are we doing in the mentoring area? We'll share the full results of the survey in a family meeting later, but one thing stood out to us in the results, and it's related to this topic of discipling. Many of us indicated quite low scores on whether we are being mentored and trained, whether we are being held accountable for our contributions to the church, and whether we as leaders were being looked after personally, and whether the development of our ministries were actively supported by the church. It's all about connection. It's all about bringing wisdom together from one person to the next. It's all about being connected for our growth. And for us, there is a special challenge here. We are not just an international and a multi-ethnic church. We are a multi-generational church. We have the unique opportunity to connect generations in this church for the continuation of the gospel into tomorrow's world by training and mentoring tomorrow's leaders. We have a lot of tomorrow's leaders among us, but how well are we taking care of them? You know, I am thrilled by the initiative that Miriam and Joanna took to start this mentoring program for students. I think it's one of the most important things that the Lord has called us to do. You know, and this is one that I'd really like to see take off because it's connected to our purpose as a church. we are called in a unique way to mentoring and discipling the next generation. For me personally, it's why I believe in this church. It's why I believe in being part of Vineyard Groningen. And it's great to see that we're improving in this area. And it's great to see that we're launching programs to do that. But we don't need to depend on programs. And it doesn't need to be only the older people that do the mentoring and the younger people that do the receiving. We are all called to discipling others, and we are also all lifelong students at the same time. So if Jesus is challenging us in Matthew 28 to, as you go, make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to observe, to put into practice all of the stuff that I commanded you, may I ask each one of us, who is mentoring you? Who is currently discipling you? And who are you discipling? Who are you mentoring? Who are you sharing with what God has already given you? We cannot grow as Christians on our own, and we cannot keep our faith to ourselves. So from whom are you receiving, and to whom are you giving your own wisdom and experience? I'd like to ask you to think about this, pray for it, and pray for people who can help you, and pray for people who you can help. Because God is awesomely creative in setting up the right connections for you. God is awesomely creative in arranging divine appointments. But you have to chase them with intent. Right? As Bill Johnson from Bethel Church says, everything you need, the Lord will give to you. But everything you want, you have to go get. And I think this is true about mentoring relationships as well. Now, secondly, how are we doing in terms of growing in the gifts of the Spirit? How are we doing in developing an intentional practice of stepping out and ministering to others in the power of the Holy Spirit and doing so together? You know, as Frank shared with us a couple of weeks ago when he was preaching about loving relationships, we are doing absolutely great as a church at welcoming new people in. As a church, as Vineyard Groningen, we are absolutely great at giving people a home away from home. We are good at inviting people to be part of what we are doing. And we see so many new faces every week, and this morning again. And many stick around, and you guys are welcome. And we as a church are actually very good at welcoming you in. We are. We are great at come in. And come in is basically the Old Testament model of evangelism. It's come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, and he will teach us his ways. Right? There's a community of God, the people of God, that lives in a certain way, and it works by invitation. Come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord. But that's only half of the picture of how God wants to reach the world with the gospel. And the other part is the New Testament part, which isn't come in, but it's go out. Right? So, it's go out, as in Matthew 10. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of God has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And the barbecue that was done a couple of weeks ago with the Salvation Army friends, and you told about it 2 weeks ago, Martina. I think that's a great example of where to start. Right? So let's create more opportunities like that. And let's also get equipped in partnering with the power of the Holy Spirit as we do. And we'll be praying for that this morning as well. And thirdly and lastly, here's another very important thing I'd like to challenge us on. I'd like to challenge us to be intentionally connected as a church in the area of inclusion. We are an ethnically diverse church with people coming from over 60 nations all over the world. We are a church with a great amount of talented, aspiring leaders, both male and female. We have people who are relatively poor. We have people who are well educated. And we are living in a world, and it's happening all over Europe, it's happening in America, it's happening in other places. We are living in a world that is torn apart by culture wars and allegiance to group identities. We are living in a world that is getting more tribalized, more driven by resentment along the lines of race and gender and class, probably more so than even 10 years ago. And ladies and gentlemen, nothing has changed in this respect since the days of the Apostle Paul. The local church is still the hope of the world. Why? Because in Jesus Christ, there is no Jew or Greek. There is no male or female. There is no slave or free man. But we are all Abraham's sons through the resurrection life that was given to us in Jesus. It's in Galatians 3, right, where Paul writes this. And these big divisions are all in that single verse. Oh, you can do that. You can fill out the rest of the slide. These three things are there right in this verse in Galatians 3. Race, gender, and class, and the divisions that they bring. And we as a church are called uniquely as an international church in the city of Groningen to be an embodiment of the body of Christ, where these divisions are overcome. Race, gender, class, it's all there. And the local church is to be the shining light of the world where these divisions are overcome. And here, as I said at the start of the message, we need work. Our fundamental unity has been given to us by the Holy Spirit. It's there, it's a given. But we are to make every effort to preserve it and to keep it. We are to be intentional to translate it into actual practices. Just as in Acts 6, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the deacons were given the task to make sure that the Hebrew-speaking widows and the Greek-speaking widows both had enough food. So how are we, in this church, here in Groningen, practicing building true brotherhood between men of different ethnic backgrounds? How are we forming truly diverse male and female leadership teams? How do we fully incorporate the gifts that the Lord has given all of us into the way we form the church? And how can a visibly united church be the hope for a very divided world? As Vineyard Groningen, we have a unique opportunity here. And I believe that the Lord is calling us to be intentional about it, connected on purpose. So to close, I'd like us to pray. I'd like us to invite the Holy Spirit in. And let's pray for God's kingdom to come in at least the three areas that I mentioned. So if you want prayer for divine appointments to come your way, people who can mentor you, people you can mentor, for people to cross your path that you can share something with, please step up for prayer. If you want to grow in boldness and you want prayer for the power and the presence of God to go with you as you try to reach out to others, please also come. And if you want to see healing and restoration come into racial divides, gender divides, class divides, either in your own life or through you towards the city, let's also pray for each other.